This is the Financial Side of Life podcast, episode 15.
Welcome to the Financial Side of Life podcast. Our mission, to empower you with smart financial strategies and show that it's possible to get a college education, save, invest, retire, or do whatever makes sense to help you live your best life. We'll meet amazing people and professionals who will share stories about how they do it, and together we hope to bring a little sanity to your complex financial life. And now, here is your host, certified financial planner pro and founder of Avea Financial Planning, Angie Ferbaten-LaRossi.
Hey everybody, Angie Ferbaten-LaRossi here. What do you think might happen if you get a group of women together, seated in a circle, to open up and talk about money? Well, we're going to find out when we talk to my two guests, who I first met back in 2014 in Seattle, when we all took part in what's called circle training. I'm guessing you're wondering, what are circles? Well, I like to describe circles, and more specifically, women's circles, as a safe place for women to talk about personal finances. And we'll talk more about that as well. My guests today are Kelly Shikani and Mary Ballin. Both of these ladies are certified financial planner professionals. Kelly is with Lakeside Wealth Management in Chesterton, Indiana, which is outside of Chicago. She's the director of wealth management there. And then Mary is with Mosaic Financial Partners, which is in San Francisco. They're both CFPs, and they both actually have another designation, which is called a Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. And both of these ladies specialize in working with women, especially those in transition. And both of my guests today host women's circles throughout the year, I think quarterly. So I'd like to welcome Kelly and Mary to our program. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Angie.
So I wanted to start. It's been 4 years now since we first met in Seattle back in 2014. And I'm pretty sure at that time that none of us had ever done this kind of training before. I know I hadn't. I'm curious, what first drew you to learn more about this idea of talking about money in a circle?
I don't know, Kelly, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Why don't you, Mary? Because I think you had training before.
Yeah. Actually, I did my first training in 2013. I had the opportunity to go out to Georgia to do the first training, and Seattle was my second training with Liz, my partner in crime with this. The president of Mosaic, Norm Boone, knows Elizabeth Jeton and Eleanor Blaney, and they were the, you know, they were the women who spearheaded this whole kind of revolution, shall we say. And Elizabeth and Norm were talking, and Elizabeth was sharing with Norm about, you know, these women's circles that she and Eleanor were creating, and mentioned to him about this retreat that she was going to have over out in Georgia. He came back to the firm and shot an email out to the women in the firm and said, hey, anybody interested in checking this out? And Liz and I raised our hands and said, absolutely. And that's what we did. We went out to Georgia and participated in, I guess it was a 3-day retreat. Really didn't know at all what was going to happen. In fact, I remember walking into the room on the first day, because we're at this beautiful resort and, you know, it's all very zen-like, organic and the whole bit. And walking into this room with pillows on the floor and a centerpiece or what do I want to say, like candles in the middle, and looking at each other going, you know, what did we just walk into? Because here we are, financial advisors, thinking from that analytical side of our brain, and obviously not walking into anything that was going to be analytical at all. But it was transforming. It was really thought-provoking and made us, we walked away from that retreat so energized and so excited about the opportunity to basically just change the conversation for women around their financial well-being, and excited about being on the forefront of this new adventure that, you know, that she introduced to us. And so that's where we got started. and we came back and we actually tried doing these monthly and just about killed ourselves in the first year or so. And just through trial and error came, you know, we finally got to that quarterly. And I remember going back into Seattle and meeting the two of you along with some of the other folks that are doing it now. And it's just grown. And it's so nice to know that, you know, we have these partners across the country that are really trying to do something that is going to bring more empowerment, for the, you know, lack of a better word of using. I just think empowerment's overused kind of now, but being able to do this for women, because still here in 2018, you run into so many women that just feel like they're not part of that conversation. They're doing other things and they want to be more educated and feel better about their financial well-being. And especially with those women that go through these life transitions that all of a sudden put them in the driver's seat and they've never been there before and they're scared to death.
Great. Okay. Kelly, how about you? What drew you to this whole idea?
I had been following Eleanor Blaney's work for some time. I think I came across her book, Woman's Worth, and I had used it in a book club for a networking group that I was in called Business Women United. And she was kind enough to Skype in for this book club. And in the book, she references women's circles. And then there were these different calls and requests for these different events to come down and learn about this process to host women's circles. And I remember going to my supervisor at that time and saying, you know, I really want to spend the money to go down and learn this. And she looked at me and said, you know, I really think that you're beyond that at this point. And I thought, what? I'm not. I was tired of going to seminars and summits on annuities and on retirement income planning and being amongst all these men talking about, you know, how big was your book of business and how much were you selling, and feeling like I just want to go hide in my room and be alone. And I never felt comfortable at any of these events. And hearing Elizabeth and Eleanor and Candace talking about this process where you got together with women and talked about the emotion behind money, it just was a constant pull. So I didn't go to Georgia, but all of a sudden Seattle came up and I said, you know what? I'm going and I'm paying for it myself. If the company that I work for is not paying for it, I'm taking the money out of my personal account. I'm paying for the flight. I'm paying for the cost. I'm doing it. I'm just taking my vacation time and I'm all in. Well, like Mary, I walked into that room. I saw these people sitting in a circle. I saw this gong. I saw these little chimes. And I thought, dear Lord, where am I? And now looking back, I think this must be how my clients feel when they walk into this setup here when I'm doing it. And I'm okay with that because I've never had anybody leave or respond that this wasn't one of the best things they've ever experienced. Because it's time we talk about more than charts and indexes and things like that. And these circles give women the opportunity to really get to the emotion behind this money and what is this money for.
Excellent. Okay. So for our listeners, would one of you tell us about, or both of you, you know, what are these circles? What are they? And then also, what are they not?
So I can start a little bit with, they are not what Kelly just described in those conferences that she was so used to going with. They are not about us yapping at a bunch of women at the front of the room trying to sell them something. This is, you know, and I think that's what throws a lot of people off sometimes. They are literally facilitated conversation. We are just there to facilitate a conversation. We come prepared with a few thought-provoking questions that start the conversation. And we literally have a talking stick and pass that talking stick around so that everybody has an opportunity to talk and to share if they want to. If you don't want to share, you don't have to share. There's no shooting on anybody in these circles. It's just allowing the participants a space to be able to share their own stories around a topic matter so that they can realize that they're not alone. They're not different. It normalizes those feelings that they're having around the discomfort or disengagement around money. Next week I'm hosting, Liz and I are hosting our Q3 circle, and it's about the values, our values around money and how to articulate our values around money. That is nothing about, rate of return and, correlation coefficients and beta and Sharpe and all of that. It's really the soft stuff. Kelly, what else do you have?
Well, and as much as they aren't seminars and they aren't somebody standing up and telling you this is a conversation, you will learn that the circle does have structure. There are principles and guidelines. There is a beginning. There's a check-in. There's a check-out. There is a structure in the sense that what happens in this structure is you have to adhere to the structure, meaning that what happens here stays here, and that we are all responsible for this conversation. That, we may call this circle, but it's important that you're very intentional about what we talk about. And we do have somewhat of a theme, like Mary said, perhaps it is money and values. Perhaps it is, what does legacy mean to you? So there may be a theme, but as much as we may try to maintain a theme, what comes up at the circle, sometimes we're in no control of it. So we try to have a guided conversation, but sometimes we're not in control of what sometimes these questions bring up for people, and that's fine. And I think that's important for people to know too, because sometimes when you ask people questions like, what is your earliest memory around money? Those are some of the strongest memories I have around these circles, because what people remember around money is sometimes painful, and that brings up a lot of emotion and it shapes their life.
Exactly. Do you have any stories that you might share, examples of that?
Well, one of the memories that isn't, the happiest for me to share from a client is, and she was more of a prospect than a client, but that's not here or there. But, she had this memory of being a child, and she and her mother had come over from a country to kind of escape a situation that wasn't good. And she said she can remember selling like newspapers to have money for food. And, as soon as they would sell the newspapers, they would save the money for food. And they were very, very poor. But they just, this was just the way of life. And she just remembers that, that they had this very poor, very poor beginning. And, that she had to struggle with her mom. And she all of a sudden stopped and she looked at me and she said, this is why I don't really care about saving for retirement, or I'm not worried about what my retirement is going to look like, because I know I can do anything to survive. And, that wasn't my time to say, we're not in a war-torn country right now, but that was her feeling. That was her memory, and her memory with her mom as a small child. But that's what she remembered, that she knew that she could do anything to survive. Mm-hmm. But that was her memory.
Amazing. And that gets kind of conjured up in the context of the conversation that's going on in the circle, those deep emotions and deep memories.
Yes.
Okay. So you mentioned that there is structure to the circle, and I was wondering if you could kind of walk us through what actually occurs in a circle. So that if somebody was to listen to this today and they were to walk into your circle, they wouldn't necessarily be too surprised by, the candle or the center of the circle with the candles or the flowers and things like that. Would you guys kind of walk us through a typical circle?
Yeah, I can share with you, the kind of the format that Liz and I use for circle. It may or may not be similar to what Kelly does, but for us, it's we are sitting in circle, we host a lunch for ours. And so as much as we were trained to have an open circle without a table in the middle that really more or less can act as a block in a place to hide behind. But for us, it's more of a logistics piece since everybody is trying to eat lunch while we're talking as well. But we do usually have a touchstone, a candle of some sort in the middle, just as a focus point. So there's something that people can look at while they're thinking about their thoughts that they want to share, which becomes a little bit more comfortable than maybe staring at somebody across the circle from you. You know, it may or may not make people comfortable. But we do have a breathing exercise just to kind of bring people into the space to let go of the rest of the day so that you can be present in the moment and really be fully engaged with the conversation that's about to happen. And then we check in with everybody to find out what's happening. And when we check in, we're passing the talking stick and just asking them to share maybe what was it about this circle that had them decide to come, you know, made them decide to come, or just something to introduce themselves and become more familiar with the rest of the group. And then we will share, as Kelly mentioned, there are kind of rules of circle. What happens in circle stays in circle. To, you know, you want to respect what other people are saying, not take the circle on a tangent, stay within the conversation. And if there is something that's kind of going to take us off in the direction where the circle's not heading, to maybe jot that down. And we have 3x5 cards there for people to jot things down so they can remember, and we can bring it up possibly later, or they can talk to us after or something. Again, you know, asking that big wide open question, giving everybody an opportunity to talk about it, share their own stories around it. And there'll be, you know, we usually prepare four or five questions, and we'll get to three normally. I mean, sometimes questions fall more or less flat. Other times questions open just a river of thoughts and stories and sharing behind it. And maybe we won't get to even the second question, but that's okay. You know, Liz and I just want to be prepared with more than enough questions to ask. And once we get through all the questions, because we do want to be really respectful of time, our circles are about an hour and a half, then we will just close. And it's usually closing with something to the effect of, you know, what was one learning? What was one takeaway? What was just any thoughts that they have after participating in the circle? And we check out and then everybody goes on their way.
Okay. Kelly, do you do anything different? Because that's pretty much the structure that we were taught in large part, I would say.
Well, because I'm from Northwest Indiana, I don't do that breathing exercise. I've always had a problem with the breathing part of it. I think, you know, the California gals, they're a lot more wonky than we are here in the Midwest. We're a little more buttoned up. So I tend to find, I really always try and capture some readings or things like that I feel really try to focus people, because they've asked us to try and transition from, you know, when people arrive, to transition from that kind of a space to the circle space. So I start with a reading, and then I end with a reading, and then the checkout. So that's my way of transitioning, because I've always, even from the training in Seattle, I always have had a problem with the guided kind of stuff, because I, you know, when they ask you to close your eyes, I'm the person that's always opening one eye and looking at everybody. So it's always worked for me a little bit better to do, just to find a reading that I feel like will resonate with whatever we're doing. But everything else is exactly the same. And sometimes when we do the check-in, I ask them to say their name and maybe somebody that they want to bring to the circle. This one that we just did on legacy planning, Since the month of May, we honor moms. I asked them if they wanted to, you know, bring their mom or somebody in their life that, you know, helped guide them to just, because I think when you have to say your mother's name or maybe an aunt or somebody that helped really guide you in your life, it kind of really brings you to center. And we do actually have a small table because we do ours after work because, you know, we don't really have traffic in Chesterton, Indiana. So we're okay doing ours after work as opposed to, you know, the traffic in San Francisco is just a little bit different. So we have appetizers beforehand and, you know, wine and stuff like that before to start it. And then we have a small table with candles and flowers. And then that's it. That's always to date. That's what's worked for us.
Great. Okay. That's interesting that you're kind of doing very similar things, but just slightly different to fit your culture.
Yeah. It was actually Liz's idea for us to go to lunches because we were doing after work for such a long time. And we do two of them a quarter, one of them in my office, which is considered the East Bay. Mm-hmm. It's not San Francisco proper. And then the other one we do in our San Francisco office. So, you know, something about the bridge and people having to cross it and that traffic thing that Kelly was mentioning. But we found that at night, people just want to get home. And I was really more or less resistant to the lunchtime because I thought, how are people going to take time out in the middle of their day to do that? But honestly, it's worked out really well. And I have to give the credit to Liz for that one because she really kind of pushed on that to try it. And it's worked out much better. Our numbers are actually better for us. But again, demographics are completely different here in San Francisco from, I would imagine, from where Kelly's at. So I've never been to Kelly's neck of the woods, so I don't know. But I mean, I'm glad Kelly reminded me too, because we also try and remember to bring in the women that have had impact in our life. And also we include, though, those women or growing up women. I think of my daughter all the time and how much I want her to be empowered. So I bring my daughter into circle, not physically, but emotionally, so that I feel like I can guide her in the right direction as she moves ahead in her life. She's only 18 right now. So
that leads me to, are your events, are they open to the public? Do you invite people? How are people coming to your circles?
For us, we started it just inviting all of the women that are wives or clients, professionals that we know, and that's where we started. And at this point, we've opened it up to anybody that wants to participate. They're posted on our website. Liz and I actually have our own little section of the Mosaic website for women's circles. We have blog posts that we shoot out about them. So sometimes people actually trip on them and because of however the internet works, you know, the abyss of the internet. And we will have women show up because we do it all electronically through HubSpot. And it's like, do you know this person? I don't know this person. Do you know that person? So then we're trying to figure out who is this person. Sometimes there are other financial advisors. And to me, that is okay too, because I feel like part of what we're doing here is a give back. It's a way to help others help women with this whole relationship regarding money. You know, my hope is that they're not going to, you know, try and steal business. I mean, that's not even where I go with it. And I know that there's some people that would feel differently about this, but I come from a place of more the kumbaya, you know, let's just all do this. And it's something that we're giving back to, you know, the world or whatever, the area, the whatever, how big or small you want to make it. If I can help one person help another person with this relationship around money, and in particular women, because we have been more or less not in the forefront on this or in the driver's seat. I think that we've done something.
Yeah,
really
I
good.
Agree too. And I would be happy to have other advisors attend, you know, because to me, that's that's what we all did. We were all trained together as advisors, and we came from throughout the country to Seattle, in our case, to learn this technique. And, you know, okay, so we all went back to our hometowns and did these activities. But even if I was to have, you know, two or three other people here in town doing this, I just only see that as a plus, really, because you're going to benefit. You're going to benefit families ultimately. So
yeah, actually, Liz and I have become friends. No, Liz and I have become really good friends with a couple of other women from the Humphrey Group that in San Francisco, and Diane and Lexi host them, and they send us invitations to their circles, and we send them invitations to ours, because, you know, we are only two people trying to come up with this, and the more we share, and that's where, and I've been terrible about being on our conference calls that we've had monthly for a long time. And Liz has always been much better about being able to get on those. But, you know, I just think this is something that we're doing as a sisterhood to band together and bring this forward. So anyway, that's my take on it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll shut
up. Kelly, earlier you and I were talking before Mary joined us about, you know, just the response to this idea of talking about money in a circle, in a safe space with women. What do you find are people's, what's their feedback? What kind of things are they saying when they have come and they've maybe not quite sure what they're getting themselves into? And then they experience the circle and they come back maybe for another time. What do you think their response is? What are they getting out of this?
I think they're getting the opportunity to, first of all, feel much more comfortable when they come to this office, because, you know, it's often been said that most people feel dread, almost like going to the dentist, when coming to their financial advisor's office. And the way Lakeside is set up, you know, we are, you know, obviously I have clients that are considered my own, but the clients that come to these circles could be anybody's clients. And oftentimes they're not considered Kelly clients. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of inviting people here are for them to get to know Lakeside as the kind of place where we do things differently. We provide our clients an experience where they know that we're willing to be a little bit different and to reach them at another level as far as their, you know, their emotion about money. And so that we have, when we talk to them about these women's circles, they're like, well, exactly what are they? And it's very difficult to explain until they get here. But I have about six ladies that have probably been to at least six of these circles. And they're just, you know, I feel like I should give them chevrons for attendance. But it's just, once they come, I think they're just so comfortable in coming and getting to be even more comfortable around the different topics and sharing their experiences and just kind of melting into the experience. And I want them out in the community advocating for this experience, for us, for themselves, and for women. And that's the whole purpose. So if we have five people at the circle, or if I've had as many as 18, that's the purpose, is just so that they know that this is an experience that you need to have. You need to share this and to be comfortable talking about money wherever you go.
And Mary, how about you? Do you have any opinions on what do people get out of it? Why are they coming? Why are they taking time out of the middle of their day to come attend?
So to Kelly's point, I think it's exactly the same thing. People don't know really what to expect. And even when we explain it to them or introduce it to maybe a new prospect or just somebody that calls us to ask us and inquire about it, or we're sharing it with a professional, you know, when we're explaining it to, especially professionals, you can see this look in their eye, like, what are they doing? You know, what are these crazy women doing? But it's once you experience it, it really is, I don't know if life-changing, and that would be a little bit too big, but it's unique, it's different, it's safe, it's, you know, it's just, again, I'm going to use that dang word again, empowering to them to realize that they're not alone, that their stories are similar, different, but similar to other, what others are feeling, and they're not unusual. It's bringing kind of those, the fears of the bag lady, which is so prevalent out there amongst people who have very little to millions, because abundance means a different thing to different people. And like Kelly, it doesn't matter how big the circle is, but I equate it a little bit to, you know, the movie Field of Dreams, build it and they will come. It's been amazing to me that, you know, we walked away from a retreat in 2013, Liz and I, and we started building this. And initially we had maybe 5 or 6 people. And earlier this year, my circle got so big that I had to leave our conference room in our suite and get the conference room for the building that I'm in just to be able to facilitate all of the women that wanted to participate. Because I don't want to have to, you know, send people away or tell them that they can't come or anything like that. And it's been amazing to me. And I still have to, you know, feel like I have to pinch myself sometimes to realize, wow, this really is something that women are craving to want to be in an environment like this where they can have these open, honest conversations and really dig deep and search into themselves about money and the meaning of money to them and how to put down and their feelings about money and be able to make it mean something more and attach it to the values in their and everything that just makes them who they are.
So in addition to your participants gaining this knowledge and this experience, what do you guys get out of this? Why do you keep doing it? You must benefit from it too. Otherwise you wouldn't do this.
Well, for me, I obviously like what I do as an advisor. I mean, I do. I love the planning part of it. I love helping people. And that part of it is absolutely a great part of my job. But Kelly, as a person, wants to go deeper. And what part of my values is that I'm a very empathetic, you know, authentic person. And this circle piece really speaks to me as on that front. And I don't think every female advisor out there wants to be a circle leader. I get that. But for me, it just resonates. And it helps me be able to be authentic in my role as an advisor. So I can address, you know, the e-money Kelly. I can do that. I can be authentic on that side. But it helps me to just be a truer version of myself by being able to help women be in a better conversation with themselves and hopefully with people they have in their lives, if they can get to some of those other conversations with people that matter by using this method. And it just really, really resonated with me.
And Mary, how about you?
Yeah, a lot the same. I mean, you know, at my core, I view myself as a definite nurturer. I love to teach, and in my firm, I'm known as Mother Mary because I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But you know, people know that they can come, they can talk to me, they can open their kimono, and I'm not going to have judgment. And that's the way I am. I've actually been told a lot of times that you wear your heart on your sleeve too much. It's just who I am. Authentic is a great word Kelly just used. I want people to know who I am at my core. And this is a way for me to be able to express that, because in our industry, and because of the way it's grown over the years, women haven't necessarily had an opportunity to be able to touch that side of who a lot of women are. And to Kelly's point, not every woman is like this. God knows, I was at a conference earlier in May, And I met a couple of women who were telling them about this. And, you know, they were with some of the bigger firms in San Francisco. And they're looking at me like, I've got, you know, green horns coming out of the top of my head. Because they were just so not able to relate to what it is that we're doing. But it's just, I walk away from these feeling like I'm able to tap into that piece of who I am at my core, of that nurturer, that educator, that empathetic person who truly wants people to share who they are. Because that's, you know, when you start peeling back the onion that much, is that's when you get to really find out who your clients are, who the people are that you're talking to. And that way you can truly understand what it is that they're trying to accomplish, because you're getting into their core soul.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's just, you're right. You're revealing so much about a person that's just not on the surface. So I have one last question as we wrap up our conversation today. What do you think would be your key piece of advice to women who want to be more engaged in their own financial life?
You know, it's so important. So my mom, bless her heart, I mean, she passed away a few years ago, and she was born in 25. And I share this story with people all the time, because I really, just in the last decade, had figured out that this is where this all has come from. My mom wanted to be a doctor, and her father basically had the attitude of there wasn't any way he was going to educate a female, because she was just going to get married and she's just going to have babies and there's going to be nothing else to it. And she would have a husband who would take care of her and support her and do all those things. And it actually happened for my mom. It was okay. My parents were married for 66 years when my mom passed away. But she always had this desire in herself to be more than just a housewife, more than just, you know, the PTA president and all that stuff. And she was PTA president. She helped on the school board. She did everything. And she eventually had her own business as a swimming school teacher. But the one message she said to me, and at the time when she started saying it, I was like, yeah, whatever, mom. Because I was a teenager, was, Mary, don't move from your father's home to your husband's home. Know that you can stand on your own two feet. Know that you can take care of yourself, because you never know what's going to happen in life. Now, I don't know where this came from, because again, my parents were married for 66 years. She was never in a position where she had to figure out how to take care of herself, because my dad had gainful employment their entire marriage. I mean, she got married very young at 19, because my dad was heading off to World War II and fight in the European conflict. But it was always in the back of her head. And I would imagine as a small girl, she felt like, okay, I want to do something where I know I can take care of myself. But it was the message that I received, and it was what I did. I went to college and I lived on my own and did all that before I got married. And I know today that if something were to happen to my husband, Jeff, or something were to happen to our marriage, that I can take care of myself. I know I can stand on my own two feet. And that is such an empowering feeling. And there are so many women out there that don't have that feeling. I mean, the women that I get introduced to that are heading into a divorce, and they've been in a place where they haven't been the financial person, and the fear that's in them. And for me, I don't have that fear. And I want those women that are coming to me, that I'm being introduced to, that are scared to death because of whatever's have happened. They've all of a sudden become a widow. They've all of a sudden been served with divorce papers, and they're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want them to know that they're going to be okay, and they're going to be able to take whatever they have and make it work for them, and make it work in a way that resonates in their soul and is attached to their value system around it. May not be easy, but they can do it.
Excellent. Kelly, how about you? Any last words, advice to help?
I think I've always felt that as long as you don't disengage, I understand that money and financial matters sometimes for some people just feels like I just don't want any part of it. I've always said just don't abdicate your role. Just be aware And so don't just blindly sign tax returns and mortgage applications. Just be aware of what you're signing and be aware of what's going on. So in the event something happens, because you don't want to be blindsided like so many people that I've met. And that's just, it's just hard enough if you lose a spouse for whatever reason to have that also be something that becomes another piece of the puzzle. You just don't want that. So that's all I ask. You don't need to become a professional at it, but just be aware.
Fantastic. Well, ladies, I've really appreciated hearing your stories about how you do the circles and the benefits to the ladies that attend them. I so appreciate you joining us today on our show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to do this with you.
All right. Well, keep those circles going. I want to thank Kelly and Mary for stopping by the podcast booth and sharing their stories with us today. And thank you for listening to today's program. Be sure to check over the show notes for details from our conversation. I invite you to listen again and subscribe to our podcast at aveafp.com. That's AVEA, F like financial, P like planning.com. And leave a review. And please join our exclusive podcast community on Facebook at Financial Side of Life. Thank you for tuning in.